interest in your prayers this morning. I shared with you before we began singing that the old devil's been on our case. I ask for your prayers that he would deliver us to speak those things which we trust the Lord has put on our heart. I just got this impression that the old devil just does not want this message preached. And so pray the Lord will bless our efforts and bless you to be able to hear and receive. And just like the loaves that the young man had, the loaves and the fishes, he brought what he had. God took it and used it. And that's how I have to feel most of the time, that all I've got is a few loaves and fishes. But if God will bless it, if he'll multiply it, that it can feed your soul. And I love the wisdom of God and preaching of his word. It doesn't matter how many hit under the sound of the gospel. He can feed one or he can feed a multitude. And so rejoice in the wisdom of God. I'm back in Ephesians chapter 6. Still on the armor of God. You know, in this series we've been talking about the armor, how it helps us and gives us the help that we need against the devil. And I'll take a moment to remind you again, we've got a spiritual warfare raging every day, don't we? All right? And there's nothing that we can do to prevent that, but God has given us plenty to help us in it. So that's what we need each day, isn't it? And the lesson over and over with each piece of armor that we encounter as we study the lesson is to put it on. The loins girt about with truth. We need the truth of God's word. That's what gives us the strength to stand against the wiles of the devil. Our having on the breastplate of righteousness and having our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Each piece, as he describes it, he keeps reminding us that as he describes it, the idea is to put it on. If we're not, and the way we put it on, as we reminded you many times, is put it in. Put it in our mind. Keep it in the forefront of our mind is how we put it on. So if we're forgetting the Word of God, if we're not thinking about the Word of God, then we're not putting on the armor of God. All right, so see how important that is? Okay, so the way we put it on is to put it in. Okay, well, you know how to do that, don't you? Reading the Word and praying. You know, prayer can take that word that we've read and open up other avenues of thought that we hadn't thought about. That's why the Spirit's so important to us. Even the preaching of the word, the preaching of the gospel, the Spirit can take that message, and the preacher may not have even thought about something, but the Spirit can take it and open it up to you to something that applies directly to your situation. The preacher doesn't even have to know about it. But we both need the Spirit, don't we? The Spirit to preach it, and for you to have the Spirit to receive it. So we need to be walking in the Spirit, reading His Word, reminding ourselves, putting in the thoughts and the truths that God has in His Word so that we can put on the armor of God. When we got to the shield of faith, when Paul said, above all, above all, not that it's the most important, but it's overall. Everything that we have to do with godliness is by faith. We have to be born of the Spirit in order to have faith. We, by faith, walk each day. We make decisions, and hopefully we're making decisions in life by faith so that we can honor the Lord with whatever we're doing. All right? So, above all. All right. Overall, faith. Everything that we do involves faith if it's going to be pleasing to the Lord. Because Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Right? So if we're not doing something by faith, it doesn't please God. Whatever it is. Okay? Good rule to follow, isn't it? All right. We've come to the helmet of salvation. And he says, take the helmet of salvation. Don't leave it behind. Don't forget about it. I mean, think about a soldier in battle. What would it be like for him if he didn't have his helmet? I mean, not even a football player would go on the field without his helmet. What about when you're facing swords and fiery darts? This is real, brethren. This is a real description of what we face every day. If we're not thinking about it, we're going to be hit with those darts. We're going to be caught off guard. We're going to be having trouble, and we're not going to have the kind of help that we're looking for or that we would like to have. And so it's needful, just as if a soldier would be vulnerable in battle without his armor, then God is telling us, by telling us with each piece that's described here in this passage, put it on, put it on, put it on. Have it with you. Take it. Take the helmet of salvation. What does the helmet do for the soldier? Protects his head. Is that what I heard? Protects his head. All right, spiritually speaking, what does the helmet of salvation do for us? Same thing. Imagine that. It protects our head, but not just the physical skull or whatever. Our thinking, our decisions, our trusts, our emotions, our passions. We need the helmet of salvation to help us as we go through our day, because we make hundreds of thousands of decisions every day. Some you stop to think about. Some you don't. The frame of mind that you're in when you're doing those things has a lot to do with what you'll choose to do. We need this helmet of salvation to protect our thinking. And it involves your heart too, doesn't it? You know, we think with our heart a lot of times, don't we? All right? We need to be thinking with the Word of God. That Word of God needs to be a filter for our thinking to either allow or disallow us to think something through and do something. That's how the Word of God can protect us. And we'll get to the Word, that part of what he speaks about for the Word next. But the helmet of salvation. Take the helmet of salvation. I'm going to give you couple of passages, other passages in Scripture besides Ephesians chapter 6 that speaks of this helmet as a helmet of salvation. All right? We can go all the way back to the book of Isaiah, can't we? All the way back to Isaiah, some 700 years before Jesus was born into this world as the Son of God, as our Savior. All right? In prophecy, Isaiah, in Isaiah 59, verse 17. Isaiah 59, verse 17. And the context here is speaking of how God coming against the enemies of his people to bring deliverance to Zion. Isn't that what we need? Deliverance. Okay. By the way, deliverance is another way of saying salvation, right? Being saved. We need deliverance from lots of things in life, don't we? Our thinking needs to be delivered from fleshly thinking. Temptations that we're faced with every day. We need the helmet of salvation. We need the Word of God. We need to be thinking godly thoughts so that we can make those decisions in a way that's pleasing to the Lord. Okay, if we're not thinking about the Lord, then I'm afraid the flesh is going to take over. We don't want that to happen in our life, do we? All right. Isaiah 59, verse 17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate and an helmet of salvation upon his head. Now, there's more to the verse, but I'm not going to take the time to deal with the rest of that. But it speaks of more adorning as far as the armor. But he says, for an helmet, and an helmet of salvation upon his head. For what? When he came to do battle for his people. Do you know God does that for us every day? We need that, don't we? Aren't you thankful that God watches over us and provides for us and keeps us from harm and helps us more times than we're aware of? What if God only delivered us when we thought to ask him? What if he only provided for us when we thought to ask him? No, he loves us. He loves us to such a degree that he's watching over us, just like your children or somebody that you love. You want to make sure that they're safe and that they're doing well, and you'll do whatever you have to do to help them, won't you? If you love them. If you really and truly, deeply love somebody, you're going to do what you can to protect them. Don't you know God loves us to such far better than we love anybody here? And he is able. Not only does he have the desire for their protection, he is able to provide it. And not only does he have the ability to provide it, he has all the wisdom and knowledge of everything that's going on in our lives. And so he's there for us. And so many times he's delivering us when we don't even realize it. Have you ever thought to thank God for the things he's done for us that we don't even know about? Because they're there. I'm satisfied it's a long list of things that God continually is doing for us that we don't even realize. This battle Paul speaks about in Ephesians chapter 6, he's talking about where we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places. There's lots of spiritual wickedness, and he speaks of it as being in high places. And to some extent, that high places has reference to religious connections, idolatry, false religions that draw people away. And Satan is busy trying to captivate the mind and the heart of anyone. Our young people, our older people, our in-between people. He's out there. You know, I would that we could train ourselves. If you're not in this habit, and I hope that you are already, but I would that we could train ourselves. And when we begin our day, we realize there is still a spiritual battle raging. And it's not over yonder. I mean, it is over yonder, but it's not just over yonder. And it's not with just those other folks over there that's not doing quite what they should. It's right here. It's with me. We've got to face the enemy. We've got to ask God to help us so that we can have a positive influence in the kingdom of God. And that we can be a help to others. If we're not being vigilant in this stand, how much help can we provide to others who need it? Because there are others who need it, aren't there? All right. So Isaiah speaks of this helmet of salvation in the sense of describing this righteousness and this salvation that God brought in battling against the enemy. Now, we understand what Jesus has done for us has secured us and saved us eternally. We understand that. But we also understand that he saves us daily, right? And we need it daily, right? And so when we think about Isaiah here, when him coming to do battle against the enemies of his people, he's not just talking about eternal salvation, is he? I mean, the battle is, we have to face the battle every day. And so while we live, We need this armor because we have the eternal provisions through our Lord Jesus Christ. And bless your hearts, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb that was slain for our sins, that blood will never lose its power. We're eternally secure in God's provision for us, the sacrifice for our sins. We're eternally secure. Can't you rejoice in that? And we should be rejoicing in that every day. And just the fact that we're blessed to know it and rejoice in it, then bless your hearts, it will strengthen us and help us to face the battle daily. But it's just not just a matter of the eternal salvation. We need saving daily. Saving from the influences of Satan, saving from the influences of the world, the flesh. We need a lot of saving, don't we? You know, it's the saved who need saving every day, isn't it? All right? Maybe we don't think about it in those terms sometimes, but we should. It's the saved who need saving every day. Not that the blood of Jesus is not sufficient, but that our thinking would be where it should be. Our heart should be where it should be. All right? That was Isaiah. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, we mentioned this in a previous, when we were talking about the breastplate of righteousness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 8. But let us. Now, notice the wording. But let us. That's an exhortation, isn't it? That's exhorting us to do something. All right? When you read something like that, a red flag ought to go up. And that red flag ought to say, we might do it, we might not. Are we going to do it? Are we going to heed the exhortation? After all, as far as our fellowship with God and our walking in the Spirit and being a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a matter of life and death. Let us. All right, let us. But let us, who are of the day, be sober. Sober. Obviously, he's not talking about, obviously he is talking about staying away from things that would cause us to be separated from our senses and good judgment. But this soberness is talking about our thinking. Our thinking. Just like substances, if people take them, whether it's drinking, whether it's other things, I guess one way to put it is it divorces you from your senses such that you don't think like you should. All right? It doesn't take alcohol and illegal drugs for somebody to get to thinking in the wrong way. There are plenty of things in this world that people can set their mind on, especially fleshly thinking, and just following after the desires of the flesh, that can cause you not to be thinking the way you should. The Bible's clear on that, isn't it? But let us, who are of the day. Who is of the day? Who is it that he's talking about here that is of the day? Obviously, those that have seen the light. Okay? Those that are born of the Spirit of God. Those that can see the kingdom of God. Those that can hear the word of God. Those that have a love for God in their hearts. Those who know that Jesus is the Son of God. That he is the Christ. That he's already saved his people from their sins. Those are of the day. But let us, who are of the... He's exhorting then God's people. You mean God's people need to be exhorted to do right? Yeah, afraid so. All right, but let us who are of the day be sober. That's our thinking. That's our heart. Be sober. Clear thinking. The kind of thinking we should if we're wanting to please God. Because that is our first priority as a disciple of Jesus Christ. If He shed His precious blood and suffered tremendously for us, surely we can take His name upon us and wear it proudly and try to honor His name. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. In Ephesians, he called it a breastplate of righteousness. But here he speaks of faith and love. All right? But we covered that. Putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet to protect your thinking, the hope of salvation. Now he introduces another thought that we haven't encountered already. Hope. For the child of God who believes that Jesus is the Christ and who's trying to do what they can to honor Him in this life, our hope is, and it's not just a wish, is it? Oh, it's far more than just a wish. We've got evidence. We've got assurance in our heart. There's something in us that witnesses to the truth, that causes us to rejoice in the truth and to understand that we were sinners in need of a Savior, and God sent His Son to this world to take care of that. To die for His people that He loved before the foundation of the world. He sent His Son to save us. And bless your heart, someday, whether it's when He comes again, well, when He comes again, someday when He comes again, whether we're alive and remain or whether we're in the grave, the assurance that we have in our hearts, faith tells us, because faith is the substance of things hoped for, isn't it? Faith tells us we're His. We belong to Him. And as much as we should be faithful to Him, He's going to be faithful to us. Oh, and we can rejoice in that. Every day we live, He's given us that hope. That hope in you is Christ Jesus, the hope of glory. That's what it is. He's there. He's living in us. And so if He's saved us, we want to honor Him. All right, so Paul said, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet, the hope of salvation. If you're thinking about the fact that Jesus died for you, do you think that'll help you in your thinking? I'm glad you agree, because I know it does. God's Word says so. All right? It'll help us in our thinking. It'll help us keep our heart where it needs to be. It'll help us keep our mind where it needs to be. It will help us, let's say it this way, it will deliver us, which means it will save us every day. We need saving, don't we? We rejoice that Jesus died for us, but we need that saving every day. In my further study of this, it's interesting that the helmet that these Greek soldiers, and perhaps the Romans too, but what I was reading mentioned the Greeks. You know, the Greeks had lots of gods, didn't they? And they worshipped a lot of things. These helmets would have inscriptions or symbols on them. And what they would put on this helmet would be things that they thought would help them in battle, that would ensure their success so that they could come home victorious and not be killed. right? So they had those emblems and those symbols and things like that decorating their helmets. Gee, think about that. When the Word of God uses that to teach us a lesson here. Helmet of salvation. That it would save us. It would deliver. Something would deliver us. What is it that delivers us? The Lord delivers us. The remembrance of His Word helps us. It strengthens us each day. So when we think about the precision of how God's Word takes these things and uses natural illustrations to teach us the spiritual lessons, then when we keep in memory, and we got scripture for specific scripture for this, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that longest lesson that we have on the resurrection. Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also you've received, and wherein you stand." This armor helps us to stand, doesn't it? "And wherein you stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you." There's a salvation in keeping the Word of God in memory. I think that's plain enough, don't you? All right. So, in many ways, the Bible speaks to us about this. We need to face the battle. We need the Word of God to deliver us. We need to be thinking about what God has done for us so that we'll have appreciation and thanksgiving to Him each day for what He has done, what He continues to do, and what we hope that He will yet do in delivering us. Because Satan, hear me, Satan wants to destroy your life. He can't touch your soul. The blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from our sins. But Satan wants to ruin and destroy your life. And he's doing a real good job on some fronts, isn't he? He can do a real good job on a lot of things. When I say good, you understand it's not good, but he does an effective job. He's very effective in what he's doing. And a lot of folks are just handing it to him on a silver platter. They're not afraid of Satan. They're not worried about how Satan's influence would affect them. They're going about their merry way. They're doing what their little heart desires, and they're not thinking. Right? That's the key. They're not thinking. They're not concerned. They're not worried about the pain and the suffering, the heartache that Satan can inflict upon us when we follow his leading. Talk about fiery darts. Talk about heartaches. The safest place we can be is following the path of God's Word. Keeping in the forefront of our memory those things which will be good and profitable for us. To renew our mind each day so that we can know what is that, so that we can prove what is that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. In the will of God is our safest place to be in this life, isn't it? That's what we need every day. To be in the will of God. Satan wants to destroy that. Satan wants to pull you aside. Satan wants to cause you to do things. And I'm going to tell you, the flesh is part of this too. And this world system and the prevailing notions of people that we associate with, all of that works against us. Can work against us. But he's given us armor. He's given us armor that will protect us if we're trusting in him. And say, "Lord, I need your help." It will protect us. It will. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Satan wants to destroy. And he'll do anything. Now, we haven't gotten totally through this, but I want to get this thought out here. If you went out to battle without your breastplate, And you're facing an enemy that's strong. And an enemy that can wield that sword very well. Where do you think that enemy is going to try to attack you? Where you're the most vulnerable. And if you don't have your breastplate of righteousness on, if you're not putting in so that you can put on the righteousness of Christ and wanting to honor Him and live righteously, He's going to attack us right there. What if you don't have your shield? What if you don't have it? You're vulnerable. How would you like to walk up against an enemy that had a big, heavy sword and arms about this big, able to wield it without your shield? I don't want that. What if you went to battle without your helmet? It's going to go for the head. Well, that's not fair. Who said Satan's fair? You expect him to be, you've got a far too accommodating idea of Satan. You know, we've had some news items here lately about how we've treated some prisoners. I don't, you know, who knows what's the truth about some of those things. The point is, when you've got a real enemy, when you've got a savage enemy, when you've got an enemy that hates you, they will do whatever they can to hurt you and destroy you. Do you believe that? And Satan is just that way. And he's got help with your flesh, and he's got help with this world system. And all the temptations that we're faced with in this life, we need God's help. Lord, save us each day. Every morning when we rise, and I don't say this for you to think anything of me, but every morning when we rise, I'm on my knees praying for you, for this church, for your families, for your help. We need help. We need protection from the devil and this world. And every one of us need help from this to protect us against the flesh taking over and us making decisions according to that. And God is so good and so gracious that He's given us the help we need. And and necessary, He could come to our aid when more is needed. God gives as much as we need and more many times, right? But He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. I'm afraid sometimes we think, well, you know, that's just a little thing. I don't need to be praying to God about that. That's just a little matter. I don't need to ask the Lord to help me there. I can handle that. And we think too highly of ourselves, right? Remember Romans 12? When he's talking about be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Eventually he gets to that thought. Not to think more highly of yourselves than you ought to think. But to think how? Soberly. Godly. Oh. It's all connected, isn't it? And he knew what we needed. Any surprise there? And so, have you proved him lately? Have you needed him? Have you called upon him? Has he answered you? Have you proved his love and faithfulness to you? Oh, it's the best thing in the world we can have. The presence of God, the help of God, the blessings from the Lord that he so graciously gives because he loves us so much. He's done so much for us. But Satan is the adversary. That means he's on the other side of the table. That means he's out to get us. He's out to destroy our peace. He's out to destroy our happiness. He's out to destroy our families. He's out to destroy our churches. He's out to destroy anything he can that has anything to do with godliness. He's our adversary. Your adversary, the devil, goeth to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5. That's what he's doing. That's what he's about. That's what he loves to do. But if you know me very well, you know that when I think about 1 Peter chapter 5 and that adversary of the devil and how he goes to and fro seeking whom he may devour, I love to run to 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Don't you know we've got help? We've got the help we need. And we need to teach our children and teach our families. That's where our help is. That's where our help is. We've got all the help we want, but Satan's out there to try to destroy us. All right, so the helmet protects the head. And the spiritual lesson then is to protect our thinking, our emotions, and all that goes with that, so that the decisions that we make, small or large, the decisions, what we choose to do, who we choose to be around. You know, I realize in school and work, you know, you don't have a lot of choices sometimes about who you're around. But you have a lot of choices about what you're thinking and what you're allowing. All right? And that's what we're talking about. We need that protection. We need that help. So I've probably said all this already, but I've kind of summarized some things about how this helmet of salvation helps us in our thinking. Keeps our thinking where it should be, sober, clear, and on the truth of God. See, we need that, don't we? So many of the things that we're faced with in life, folks want to fudge a little. Well, I know that's a requirement, but it won't hurt to do this. You know, just think about Satan in the Garden of Eden. Just think about when the serpent beguiled Eve. All right? What if he'd have said, Eve, you know that, see that tree over there? See that fruit? A lot of people call it an apple. The Bible doesn't say it's an apple. If you want to think about an apple, go ahead. See that fruit? Why don't you have some? It'll kill you. Now, who's going to say, yeah, I think I'll have some? Oh, it won't hurt. Just one bite. Just one bite. Where's the line between obedience and disobedience? Far as we know, well, I don't know. I started to say, far as we know, it only took one bite. One bite was all that was necessary, right? She ate of it, then she gave it to her husband, and he did eat. But if he had told them the truth, just like God had told them the truth, there's no way you would have touched it. But Satan comes along and muddies the water, clouds the mind, invokes the passions. Oh, this is good for you. It'll make you wise. It'll make you like gods. Oh, give me a bushel. You see how Satan works? And he hasn't stopped doing the same thing. He confuses you with other things. He draws your attention away from the real truth. You know, their eyes were open when they ate that, weren't they? Okay, they did know good and evil after they, that was true. But what God said, don't eat it, didn't have anything to do with what it was all about and what it would do for you. It's the truth was, don't eat it. And Satan clouded the matter. It's okay. God's holding out on you. There's something better for you. You know, that's what Satan loves to do, is to tell us that he's got a better way. God's way is always the best. Period. Godliness is always the best. Period. Satan clouds the issue. He confuses your mind. He draws you away from what's the truth and appeals to your emotions, appeals to your senses, gets that flesh working. Okay? We need to keep our thinking where it should be. And if we're keeping a regular dose of the Word of God and reminding ourselves of what God's done for us and where we would be without God, it'll help us to think more clearly, won't it? Okay. Along those lines, it helps our understanding. Understanding is what you accumulate as you learn of God. So it'll help our understanding to be more clear and more settled and more able to stand on the truth. We need to get understanding. And with all thy getting, get wisdom. Okay? We need wisdom. That comes from God. That's his word is equated to wisdom. And with that, we need to get understanding. When Solomon, when the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream and told him, ask what I shall give thee. Would you like for the Lord to do that for you? Anybody want a genie? Grant you three wishes? Really and truly, God appeared to Solomon in a dream and said, ask what I shall give thee. And you remember what Solomon asked for, don't you? Wisdom. Or it also says, a wise and understanding heart. Now, could he build a rocket ship after that? No. Could he develop a medicine that would cure disease? No. The kind of wisdom that God gave him. And he wanted this so he would know how to go in and out among this thy so great a people. Don't you want to know how to walk in this life? Now, Solomon was king. And so he had responsibility over these people. And he wanted to reign well. And he needed wisdom. And God was pleased with that. But listen, to go in and out among this thy so great a people, don't we want to walk among God's people in a way that would be pleasing unto the Lord, that we can walk in wisdom, that we can understand what we need to be doing each day and how we can please the Lord and how we can help one another and how that we can be an encourager and not a discourager and how we can have a positive influence in the kingdom of God and not a negative influence? Don't we need that? This word gives us the wisdom that you need to do that. My goodness. God's already done that for us. Now it's your turn. Read it. Put it on. You know you can put on the Word of God? I'm not talking about wearing a Bible on your head. I'm talking about adorning. his teaching. Wear it proudly. Wear it faithfully. Show the world. I don't care what the world thinks. Show the world you love Jesus for what he's done for you. Because he's the one that really, truly loves you forever. The world will use you and abuse you and lose you. Isn't that the way it goes? God loves you. He's keeping you. He's prepared a place for us eternally. And he's given us the armor that we need to face the battles each day to protect us. That's the main thing about armor, isn't it? It's protection. We need protection. I need it. I suspect you do too. We like to think we're super saints. Helps our understanding. Helps us to accumulate wisdom. You know, knowledge is one thing, but wisdom is to know how to use that knowledge. We need to accumulate all we can. And God's given us, do you believe this now? Do you believe that God has given us in his word everything that we need to know to live a happy life, pleasing in his sight? Do you believe that?
Yes.
That's right. He says so. Paul said to Timothy, all scripture given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is mature, well developed. The man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Everything we need to know. I guess I'm getting ahead of myself into the next idea of the Word of God. But it's for protection. We need that Word, and we need to remember that Word. We need to understand that Word. We need to know how to apply that Word. We need to know how to wear it proudly. We can be proud about that, can't we? You need to be careful about how you're proud of things and what kind of pride you have. But I can be proud of my Lord all day long and all day night. Helps our understanding. Helps us form good judgment. We need good judgment, don't we? Just like when Satan beguiled Eve, she needed to have some good judgment there. I hear what he's saying, but I also remember what God said. Now, which one is going to please the Lord? We need good judgment, don't we? And we're confronted with situations, we're confronted with decisions, we're confronted with things that whether it's something we've been thinking about a while or whether it's something that pops up, our first thought ought to be, Lord, help me. Give me wisdom. Help me decide to do what would be pleasing in your sight. Because if it's pleasing in your sight, it's going to be good for me. You know, how do we normally pray? Lord, give me what's going to be good for me. Well, let's set that one aside for a moment and think what's going to please the Lord. Because if we do that, that's going to be good for me. If we don't do that, it's not going to be good for us. It's going to be poison. It's going to poison our thinking. It's going to be poison in our witness. It's going to be poison to us that Satan's going to be laughing. All right? Helps us form good judgment. Helps us to stand our ground when we're tempted. Has anybody here ever been through a whole day without a temptation? Okay. We're all on the same page. We face temptations every day. All right. Where are we going to stand? Are we going to stand on our own wisdom? You know, the book of the Bible that speaks more about wisdom than anything else, Proverbs. Let's see, doesn't it say, lean not into thine own understanding? Jeremiah says, cursed is the man that trusteth in man. Maketh flesh his arm. Wow, there's a clear distinction, isn't there? That means the Word of God's telling us how to recognize what will do us good and help us to avoid temptation. Well, help us to not give in to temptations. You don't have control about the temptations that come your way. You know, Charles Spurgeon a long time ago, and I've quoted lots of times, he used the illustration of a bird flying over your head like a temptation. You know, you can't keep the bird from flying over your head, but you can keep him from building a nest in your hair. The temptations are going to come. It's how you face it. It's what you do with it. If you wait for that bird to build a nest in your hair, you're in trouble. Because it's going to hatch out others, right? That's what happens with a nest. It's going to hatch out other problems. But if you stop it in the beginning, if you avoid it, pass by it, don't go that way, you will be blessed. You will have peace in your heart. Isn't that what we need? Isn't peace worth a tremendous tremendous amount in this life? Peace. I'm talking about peace with God. If you got peace with God, you can work on peace with others. But if you don't have peace with God, you're not going to have peace with others. Peace. We need it. To finish up here. Helps us stand our ground against temptation. Keeps us from being confused against Satan's devices. Probably covered this already. Think about it again. Avoids confusion. You know what we just talked about, how that if you stop something, you know, there's a saying about nip it in the bud. You know, or bend the twig while it's young. Those kind of things. When you can deal with it. Train up a child. You know, start early. When you can deal with it. If you don't, later it's going to be something you can't deal with. It's going to create lots of problems. Heartaches. Struggles. Disturb your peace with God. So the more sensitive we are to the battle, the more sensitive we are to our need of the Lord, the sooner we'll address those things in our own personal lives. So, keeping Christ, keeping the finished work of Christ for us, keeping His words of instruction, keeping those things in memory saves us from so much. And in effect, that's putting on the armor of God, isn't it? Trusting Him for our help. Looking to Him for our wisdom. Remembering His words and what He's done for us. It helps us so many ways. So those, just like a soldier, needed his armor every time he went to battle, so do we. Because as soon as we get up in the morning and start our day, the battle is there. It's right there. It finds you wherever you are. Okay, because mostly you're carrying this flesh around with you. Okay. All right. But remembering that Jesus has saved us. Remembering that He saves us each day. Remembering that we're safe in Him eternally. Will help us to face this battle. Sometimes Satan gets the advantage. And it's discouraging, isn't it? We get cast down. The longer I live, the more convinced I am that discouragement is Satan's favorite tool. Discouragement. If you were a child of God, you wouldn't have done that. If you were a child of God, you'd be stronger than that. You ever had those kind of thoughts? You know where they came from? Okay. Discouragement. We need to be encouraged. David had to encourage himself in the Lord sometimes, didn't he? Well, let's be an encourager to others. Maybe someone's not quite as mature as we've been blessed to be in some regard. And maybe we can speak a word of encouragement to somebody else. Now, when you do that, remember, if they're thinking in the flesh, they're going to be offended. And that's why most folks don't try to do that. But if we can show our love, show encouragement, try to build one another up. Not being busybodies, but encouragers, helpers of our joy. Wanting to honor the Lord, wanting to serve Him faithfully, putting on the armor, living to His honor and His glory. That's what we need. But Satan's going to be right there to discourage you every chance he gets. He's going to be right there to put temptations in front of you. I mean, listen, going back to the Garden of Eden, he was right there with the first man and woman. Don't think he's going to leave you alone. He's right there. He's right there. But so is the Lord. So is His help. We need to remember that. We need to look upon Him, lean upon Him and ask Him for the help, the wisdom that we need so that we can put on this helmet of salvation. It'll deliver you. It'll save you. It'll protect you. And because of that, you'll have more joy and peace in life. May God help us to put it on. May God bless you, is our prayer.